I'm Steve Potter, and welcome to Cityscape. Coming up, we're going to talk with legendary actor Hal Holbrook. He's being honored by the Mark Twain Museum and Boyhood Home in Hannibal, Missouri this weekend with the first ever Mark Twain Lifetime Achievement Award. He'll also be performing Mark Twain Tonight, a one-man show that he's been perfecting since the 1950s. We're also going to preview the new season of the St. Louis Symphony Youth Orchestra, which opens tonight, and we'll meet one of its members. But we begin with a topic that can be both beautifully simple and unbelievably complicated, for we mere mortals anyway, love. The Progress of Love is a new exhibition that opens this evening at the Pulitzer Foundation of the Arts. Christina Van Dyke is the Pulitzer's director and curates this exhibit. Christina, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
And also joining us, artist Zena Sarol-Wiwa. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Christina Van Dyke, love. Simple, complicated. Am I the only one that's a little confused?
You're not confused at all. It's a subject I think we all spend a lot of time thinking about. And we think about pursuing love itself, but we don't actually think about where our ideas of love come from. And this exhibition really asks that question. How do our ideas of love, how do concepts of love take shape, and how do they change over time?
Do you have your own theory?
I'm developing some as a result of this project. So I've been working on the project for over 5 years. I started it when I was at the Manil Collection, where I was curator for collections and research. And I'm trained as an African specialist. Mm-hmm. When I was doing field work in Mali over a period of about 10 years, I confronted in a serious way for the first time, arranged marriage. And I asked myself, and eventually worked up the courage to ask my friends and colleagues in Mali, is this love? Uh-huh. It didn't appear to be love to me at first, I think, because it missed this kind of critical ingredient that we value very much in a Western notion of love, which is free will. And what this prompted was an investigation into, you know, when the concept of free will entered our Western conceptions of love, which is a kind of, you know, recent development that comes along with the printed word, with increased literacy, with the development of a leisure class. And once I was aware of the fact that my own concept of love was, you know, historical and cultural, you know, it kind of made me realize that what I had originally looked at in Mali as historical and cultural, in fact, all notions of love are changing over time, and they are the product of their own unique environment.
It seems like prearranged marriages would be easier, not that I'm advocating that. Zena, what do you think? Do you have love figured out as an artist?
Absolutely not. No, I was intrigued by the subject matter because I think this idea that love is universal is what people sort of trot out, an idea that people trot out. But I do think that the performance of love is cultural. And I think my work really deals with how the performance of emotions affect how you feel inside, and also looking at cross-cultural implications. So how we perform love in different countries, different territories, does that mean that we feel love differently? So, you know, people in different countries, say Mali, they perform love in a particular way. But does that mean that they don't have feelings? I think anthropologists and historians, especially working in Africa, always had a certain idea about that Africans didn't feel the same way. And I think it's an interesting idea. Do we as Africans feel the same way, or don't we? But then there's this layer of ideas that, no, everyone feels love, and I think we all feel love. But I think the way we perform love and how we behave differs all over the world.
Think everyone has their own baggage that's unique to themselves, and that probably influences, I don't know, I'm not a psychologist.
It's baggage or a kind of manifestation. So one of the most exciting projects in this overall three-way venture between the Manil Collection in Houston, the Center for Contemporary Art in Lagos, and the Pulitzer Foundation here in St. Louis is a project that we commissioned Zena to develop, and it's called Eaten by the Heart, and it's about the subject of kissing. And it asks the question,
how do Africans kiss?
You mean there's more than one way?
Well, it's so funny. When I started the project, most people I talk to say that Africans don't kiss.
What?
Yeah. And they say it's not an African thing. And it's something that's European. It's Western. It's something that is starting to, you know, percolate into Africa.
Are you telling me this is true?
I believe it to be the case. I'm sorry, but I believe that to be the case. I think people do kiss, but I think we all think it's something that's brought in from outside.
Huh.
That's the idea. It's a massively complicated subject. No one really talks about love and kissing and intimacy. People talk about sex quite a lot, but it's quite medicalized. We talk about HIV, or we talk about the outlying practices in terms of anthropology. But when we're talking about the emotional framework, when we're just talking about love and intimacy, that's a conversation that's never really been dissected. So this, for me, it's a really interesting, it's very naughty. I'm able to ask all sorts of naughty questions to all sorts of people.
You're not going
to
ask me anything, are you?
You get let off today. But one of the questions is, how do you like to be kissed? And I love asking that to people.
Okay, we'll move right along. I want to go back to something. I might answer you later. We're going to go back to something, Christina, that you said that I want to explain. You spoke about the collaboration. So this, The Progress of Love, is a collaboration. Now, usually exhibitions, say, are put together by different institutions and then travel around. But in this case, it's three different institutions that are having exhibitions at the same time that are related with a common theme, but each with a different focus.
That's right. And I really credit my collaborator, B.C. Silva, who's the director of the Center for Contemporary Art in Lagos, for developing this idea and for really expanding my own notion of what collaboration looks like. When I first started this research on this exhibition, it was solely an exhibition that I was developing for the Manil Collection. But I went to visit B.C. in Lagos and was so moved by the incredible work that she was doing there that I ultimately asked her if she would be willing to work on the project together. And happily, she agreed, but she did say very clearly that she wasn't interested in collaborating in a kind of typical sense, as you described, which is, you know, two curators working together to develop a single show that travels from one place to the other. She very clearly pointed out that her audience needed, wanted, desired different things than my audience needed, wanted, and desired in Houston. So she proposed that the collaboration be the process itself, and that answering this question together would constitute the collaboration. And of course, when I came here to the Pulitzer a year ago, we fortunately found ourselves with an opening in the exhibition schedule, and I consulted with my colleagues, and especially Francesca Consagra, who was then our curator, and asked whether we might be able to join in the project. And happily, we have, and this really allowed us to explore the full arc of love. So the project overall is called The Progress of Love, and it moves from how we imagine love, how we pursue love. This we see at the Manil Collection, how we live love on a kind of daily one-on-one experience, which we see in a very performance-driven program in Lagos, and then what happens when we lose love, either through death or through the rupture of a relationship here at the Pulitzer.
So you got the depressing end of it.
Yeah. We think that the end of love is also a time of renewal and reflection, and it's a necessary part of love that we all experience. And so, there is a kind of breakup element to what's happening at the Pulitzer, but I don't want people to be dissuaded from coming because we also offer hope.
Well, I guess that the end of love could mean the beginning of a new love, too.
Exactly.
If you want to look at it that way. All right, I want to talk about those three different exhibits in more detail. But first, Zena, you're a filmmaker and a video artist. Could you tell us a little bit about your background? I know you were born in Nigeria, but grew up in England.
Yeah, born in Nigeria, brought up in the UK, and I moved to Brooklyn, New York 3 years ago. And I used to work at the BBC. In fact, I used to be in radio and television.
Really?
As a reporter, and I was a producer and a researcher. But coming to New York somehow brought out the video artist in me somehow. And that's kind of what I've been doing, especially this year. And I've had the most amazing experience working with Christina and the Pulitzer, and they've given me some incredible platforms to explore some ideas through video art, which is, for me, a really vital and exciting way of exploring ideas that is different from documentary, different from journalism, and I'm able just to indulge some of my more crazy ideas somehow.
Well, your father was some sort of activist and author. Did his work influence who you are?
It's really interesting. So my father was Ken Sarawiwa. He was a writer and human rights activist. And and he was basically killed by the Nigerian government 17 years ago. We just had the anniversary last week of his death. I think he was fighting against oil companies, basically, and the Nigerian government for polluting our land. And yes, his influence on me is big. The work that I'm doing for the Pulitzer explores heartbreak, actually, and the performance of mourning. My work specifically is about the performance of mourning and grieving. And with my father's death, because it was a very, very public death, it was a, sort of an international story, and Bill Clinton had tried to plead with the then military dictator of Nigeria to save my father's life, and it didn't work out. And it was a big international story. My father was a public figure, and dealing with his death was very difficult for me. I didn't cry for something like 10 years, maybe longer. I can count on my hands how many times I cried about his death, which is very odd, I know, but I felt like I didn't own him. And I think that actually through video art and through performance, I'm able to explore why I wasn't able to cry and explore the importance of the performance of mourning in terms of grieving. It's not something that exists just inside you. It's something you literally have to perform.
Interesting. Christina, before Zena talks maybe more specifically about the work that we'll see at the Pulitzer, her work, would you describe her work from your point of view?
Well, the work at the Pulitzer, I was very moved by it because it explores some of the fundamental questions that the project aims to examine. And, you know, what her work does, she has one work that's shown on a variety of video or of television monitors. And this is called Morning Class, where she's asked Nollywood actresses to perform the act of mourning. So they're instructed to look at the camera, to cry, and then to end this performance by laughing or smiling. And, you know, once you see a cycle of this, you almost feel a little taken advantage of, you know, because you... It's very sad to watch, you know, another human being cry. And so you get your kind of emotions up, and then you see this, you know, this actress letting you know she's acting by laughing or smiling. Then Zena attempts to do this herself, to follow the same rules that she set for the actresses in a piece called Sarah Gua Mourning. And she cannot actually continue the performance without talking. And when she starts to talk... And she starts to explain what's happening to herself in front of the camera. It's an incredibly raw, emotionally honest account of this jumble of things that is going through her head and the way that her father's death has affected her ability to love in the present. And to me, the two works side by side really demonstrate the way that we need conventions, we need artifice, the artifice of the mourning ritual. I mean, when you lose somebody and you go to a funeral, it sometimes feels almost like that there's something kind of fake or artificial about it. But you see how much we need these kinds of conventions in order to frame the process of loss. And that's what I think these two works do so brilliantly in the exhibition at the Pulitzer.
So Nina, has your work been a healing process for you then?
Huh. It's a very interesting question. It set me off on a different journey, let's put it that way. No, healing did not come instantaneously, unfortunately. but it set me off on a journey. I feel, as Christina was saying, the importance of ritual and literally the performance of how you deal with your grief. Every culture has a different performance. And I'm very intrigued by professional mourners and what they do, literally the choreography of what they do in order to expunge grief somehow. And so I feel I'm on a journey to sort of perhaps study professional mourning throughout the world. And it's the beginning of a process.
Christina, could you briefly mention there are a couple more artists involved in the St. Louis exhibition and what they add to it?
Right. So there are four artists in our exhibition. The artist who will fill the main hall of the Pulitzer building is the artist Sophie Kahl, who's a French artist. And she's showing a very large work that she produced in 2007 for the Venice Biennale called Take Care of Yourself. And she received a breakup email letter from her boyfriend, and he had signed off this letter with the words, "Take care of yourself." So she did. She forwarded to about 100 women, and they respond in a variety of ways, which we see in the exhibition. We also have the work of Yinka Shonabari, a video projection, and an artist named Temitayo Ogunbi, who has developed an incredible set of text messaging booklets, which you can purchase in a vending machine at the Pulitzer.
Let's remind people that the Pulitzer Foundation for the Arts presents The Progress of Love. It opens today. I'm going to run through April the 20th, Wednesdays from noon to 5, Saturdays from 10 a.m. till 5 p.m., and this is free and open to the public, so you don't need to make any kind of advance preparations about that or whatever, go to stlpublicradio.org to the Cityscape page. We'll have a link for further information. And this evening, I think it's 5 o'clock, you're having a reception?
Exactly. From 5 o'clock to 9 o'clock, we have a reception and a public opening, and we really encourage everyone to come. Three of the artists will be there, and I think it's a great opportunity to meet them.
We've been talking to Christina Van Dyke, director of the Pulitzer Foundation for the Arts and curator of the Progress of Love, and Zena Sarawiwa, a video artist. And Zena, you asked me earlier, what was the question you said you asked everyone?
How do you like to be kissed?
I thought of an answer. How about often? Will that work?
That works very well.
Okay. Thank you so much. We look forward to seeing your work at the Pulitzer.
Thanks a lot.
Next on Cityscape, actor Hal Holbrook, and later, the St. Louis Symphony Youth Orchestra. What's new with them? This is St. Louis Public Radio.